listening to Meter and the Coach. Call the show at 401-737-1287. 1037 WEEI, Southern New England Sports Original.
Meter and the Coach. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday. Thanks for spending part of it with us. With Tim Welsh, I'm John Meter Perrell. And Tim, yesterday in college basketball, just got smacked in the face again with that P word, which is parody. It's anybody's ball game. And thankfully, thanks to your great connections, we have Fran Fraschilla of ESPN, our colleague at ESPN, joining us before he hops on a flight. He was busy yesterday. You hear him all the time on ESPN and the family of networks. Fran, I got to tell you, I was at the Harvard-Cornell game yesterday. Your son, Matt, doing a heck of a job on the Harvard staff, and a big win for the Crimson over Cornell.
Yeah, I don't get nervous anymore about games, except when Harvard plays. You always pull for your kids. Tim knows that well, being the son of a coach, and really proud of Matt. He's glad to be back there. And recruiting's going really well. And yesterday they beat a really good Cornell team, probably the best team in the Ivy League. And he's excited to be back. And not too far from Providence, right down the road, or right up the road, I should say.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun to watch that game. But overall, Tim and I have talked many times about the state of college basketball and what's going on this year. Is your head spinning in terms of who the best teams are?
No, I'm kind of enjoying the fact that there is so much parity. You know, the COVID extra year, transfer portals, eligibility right away, it's really made it. That, you know, Providence is a perfect example of a team that has remade itself so quickly in a year. And that's really the trend in college basketball. Tim and I see it in the Big 12 because of all the older veteran players that come through that league. And I actually am excited about the fact that maybe other than an Alabama that's played so well, or a Purdue, that there is so much parity. We have it in. I was at the DePaul game on Wednesday night when they knocked off Xavier up in Chicago, and it's true in the Big East. It's definitely true in the Big 12, and it's probably true all around college basketball.
Yeah, Fran, I know you're focused in on the Big 12, but you keep your eye on everything, as always.
Yeah,
what's your overview of maybe just kind of the Big East? What do you see from 10,000 feet of Providence? And Connecticut's had their struggles, and Villanova struggled a little bit in their first year without Jay Wright. What's your just basic overview of the league?
You know, I think the league has grown in reputation over the last month, Tim. I really do. I wasn't sure where the league was. Creighton got off to a slow start. They're getting back on track. I absolutely love Marquette. I know they've had two barn burners with the Friars. I got a chance to see them beat Notre Dame in late November, early December. I know how good Xavier is. They dropped one the other day when I was out at DePaul, one of those games that you and I have both been through on the road where you'd love to win that game by one and play lousy, and they happen to lose the game by one or two. What Eddie's doing is just incredible. I always try to follow, like you, as a former Friar. I think there's six teams in that league that really can, you know, make noise in the postseason, and anxious to see who continues to get better. Providence coming off a tough stretch, two tough road games. Nothing embarrassing to, you know, be about losing those two and then coming back and winning yesterday. I think it's going to be fun. I really do. We have similar parity, as you know, in the Big 12, and maybe even more so because of the 10 teams and the fact that these leagues get to play home and home.
What about UConn, Fran? What have you seen from them? Obviously, the beginning of the year, top five team, they played great out at the Phil Knight event in Portland, but they've really stubbed their toe lately. Is that just because of being on the road in the Big East, or what do you see from them?
Well, I think first of all, you know, except for the St. John's loss, they were all road games. Although you could say, hey, the Seton Hall loss wasn't a great one either because they should have really beaten Seton Hall. So the beginning of the slide, I understood because of the nature of playing on the road in the Big East. When I watched them from afar, I think they've had point guard issues. They have a tremendous front line and Jordan Hawkins, when he's on, is as good a shooter as there is in the Big East. I just sense that they haven't gotten steady play out of their point guards. And it doesn't matter how good your front line is. I mean, you know, with you know, with Sonogo and Klingon and Jackson and Caravan, all that stuff's nice. But if you don't have somebody that can run your offense and run it with some continuity, that you are going to, Tim and I both know this feeling, when you don't have a good point guard, you don't look well coached. And sometimes it's not the fault of the coach. It is in the sense that he doesn't have somebody to run the show. But I just think right now that they need to get some more solid continuity on offense that begins, in the backcourt.
Texas, Fran Fraschilla beat West Virginia. Tough place to play. West Virginia's not having a good year. They beat him 69-61. The Longhorns now seventh in the country. Coaching uncertainty. Despite that, will they make a run?
They can. It's funny. I am in Pittsburgh heading back home. Was at the game. And if you watch West Virginia on paper, and they were ranked at the end of December, they're a good basketball team. They really are. Now, they turned the ball over way too much yesterday. But if you're beating Texas Tech and West Virginia in this league, as Tim knows, those two teams, when they were outside of the league, were pretty darn good. And I do think Texas, because of the they're one of the oldest teams in the country. I think they have the eighth most experience. And they've got a very experienced coaching staff. And so was impressed with them going on the road. There were, whatever that place holds, 14,000, it was packed. And it was a quality road win. And the guy that really has impressed me, Tim, this year, and last year he was the only ball handler, Marcus Carr has been sensational.
Mm-hmm.
He's efficient. He knows when to take shots, when not to force shots. He takes timely shots. And right now I think that he's among the three or four guys in consideration for Big 12 Player of the Year, which in this season, as you know, is a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, he was good at Minnesota, and that was a good find
for
their coaching staff. No question about that.
Yes.
You mentioned Ed Cooley, obviously a big win for them yesterday against DePaul. But the Cooley formula, what, from an outsider's view, not that you're an outsider, but why is he so successful?
Well, first of all, he's a great human being, and he's a great coach, and he connects with kids. And if you can't play for Ed Cooley, then there's probably something wrong with you. And then the other thing is they are so smash mouth, when my son Matt was at Villanova, I pretty much got a read on every team in the league, and he just continued to rave about, and commiserate with me about how hard it was to play Providence because, they're relentless on the glass. They're relentless everywhere. And with this team this year, Bryce Hopkins comes out of nowhere after coming from Kentucky and is, arguably one of the best players in the country. Croswell, Clifton Moore up front. Noah Locke yesterday having a big game. You should be able to walk into any 10 minutes of a team's practice and know what they believe in. And a couple times in recent years where I've stopped by and watched them practice, you know that it's all about teamwork, togetherness, toughness. And Eddie probably is as confident a coach while remaining completely humble as there is in the country. I mean, he knows what a good team looks like. Even yesterday, I read some of the comments after the game, and it was like, hey, we shouldn't be surprised at how good we are. We believe we're good. And he does it in a way that doesn't like piss you off as an opponent. If you don't like Ed Cooley as a competitor in that league, then you don't like people. I'm just continually amazed at what he's done. And of course, I know him as a kid that used to sneak into Alumni Hall and try to get shots up when I was coaching in Providence way back when. So I have a great affinity for Coach Cooley.
Now you're aging both of us, Fran. I mean, come on, don't slip that out there.
I know, man.
Oh my
god. When me and Ernie D used to get shots up,
the years just fly by, pal. I don't know where they all went. It seems like yesterday you and I were coaching against each other, Manhattan, Iona.
No question. No question, man. We always knew it was coming, and now at 64, I just can't believe that I used to be the young whippersnapper on Rick Barnes' staff, who actually picked up two or three technicals during my time as an assistant coach. So it didn't cost us. It didn't cost us. That was the good news.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Villanova, where Matt used to be. Two teams I don't really have a handle on, and I can't figure them out. One is St. John's. They seem like they have much more talent than their record. And then the other is Villanova. Yeah. What's your take on them? I know they've had the injuries this year, but where are they right now as far as what you see?
Well, I was in San Antonio when Justin Moore down there with his mom, and we were watching Villanova play. And with Justin Moore injured at Achilles, Tim, that's a 12-month injury, you know. And he did it in March, so the idea that he could come back by now was a little bit a stretch, and certainly that is the case. And, you know, he would have been in consideration for player of the year in the Big East. There's no question. I mean, at least in the top three or four. So that was devastating. And then you lose Cam Whitmore for the first third of the season, maybe, when they were really struggling. So I attribute that, the Villanova start, to certainly two key injuries. I mean, one lottery pick and one future pro. And then you have the uncertainty with the new coaching staff, and as well versed in Villanova basketball as Kyle Neptune is, it's hard to replace a legend. And I say that with all sincerity. And when I watched them the other night, I caught much of the St. John's game in the Garden against a good opponent. The way they closed out the game reminded me of Villanova. So now I think they hit 500. So they're still really dangerous. I don't know if they're going to get Moore back. I know it's touch and go. I personally would probably keep him out. But they certainly know way better. I'm not there. So that's them. And with St. John's, just always hard to tell because, especially under Mike, he certainly made them competitive. We all know he's a terrific coach, but when I watch them, I'm perplexed game to game that they could be as good as anybody in the country and then make the mistakes they do. I do think their backcourt is talented, Alexander and Curbelo, but, they do keep both teams in the game, which will drive a coach mad.
Fran Fraschilla, we could talk to you for hours. We know you have to hop on a flight. Safe travels. Great stuff on ESPN, and thanks so much for waking up with us.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. It's great being on with you guys. Tim, we'll catch up soon.
All right, Fran, thanks so much. We know you're busy. Thanks.
Good luck to Matt and the Crimson. Fran Fraschilla, ESPN. Good to see Matt Fraschilla on the staff of Tommy Amaker. That's a young staff, yes.
By the way, I know Fran Fraschilla, but the basketball guru in that family is one Meg Fraschilla. She's the one that watches actually more basketball than Fran, if that's possible. Maybe just a touch more.
The wife.
Oh, yeah. Meg, the lovely
just
Meg.
Just like the lovely Meg Welsh.
She, I think they met when he was coaching. She worked in the basketball office at Ohio U or something. But she will randomly text me during a game where, like, it's SMU-UCF on a Wednesday night. And she's watching the game. I'm like, can you have your husband take you out to dinner, please, or something? You're watching college basketball. Oh, she goodness. Watches everything. She's the best. Yeah, and so is he.
Well,
appreciate him coming on. That's not easy. I've done that trip 100 times. The old West Virginia game on a Saturday night, and then have to get up at 4:30 and drive to the Pittsburgh airport on Sunday.
Where's he going back? I hope he's going to Florida.
No, Fran lives in Colorado Springs now. He lives in Colorado Springs. Yeah, they moved. They were in Dallas. They live in Colorado Springs. But just a longtime friend and just a great basketball mind. It's always fun to talk to him.
Yes, both of you guys, great basketball minds. We'll dive into the Celtics and some injury concerns after last night's game in Toronto. They've won 9 in a row, but they got some things on the horizon. Meter and the Coach, Sports Radio, WEEI 103.7.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rate.